Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I got to confess to you here all across the world that I'm the poster child for ADD. I think I had it before it was even considered a disease. Actually, ADHD, I think, is what the term. I taught special education for 25 years. I know all those alphabet letters, all those things. ADD is just absent dad disorder. That's what we always told everybody. If you had a dad, he wouldn't act like that. We've classified it as a learning disorder. ADHD is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, something like that. In other words, ADHD is you got 16 wires coming in your brain and they're all flashing at the same time. Anybody suffer with that besides me? I suffer with it. My wife walked in yesterday. I'm not making this up. I was sitting in, maybe it's 2 days ago. Damn it, one of those days. I'm sitting in that room, in the room upstairs. Got the TV on, listening to it. I got the radio playing. And I'm writing. And my wife said, how can you do that? And I said, you know what? Believe it or not, all that background distraction makes me focus. Isn't that unbelievable? That's the truth. It makes me focus. So some people say, I got to get into a quiet room. If I get into a quiet room, those wires are just, they're going 1,000 different directions and I can't get a hold of anything to try to. So I think ADHD is a gift. Don't laugh. I bet you Einstein was ADHD. I bet he was. I bet a lot of people who have creative minds, and I'm not patting myself on the back saying I have a creative mind, but I see things a lot in a different way than a lot of people do. I think it's a gift. I think it's a gift from God. And wouldn't it be something if some of the creative geniuses that we have in the world are sitting in first and second grade and they're putting medication in them to try to get that gift out of their head? Try to control all those wires that are going into their brain. And schools are screwed up because we try to teach everybody the same way. Not everybody learns the same way. I'm a visual guy. You can tell me your name 50 times until I read it. I'm not going to. As soon as I read it, I got it. But if you just tell me over the phone, hi, my name's Steve and I'm in Manhattan. Next time you call me, I don't know who you are unless I've seen who you are, Steve from Manhattan. So I'm a visual learner. Some are auditory. We learn in entirely different ways. And that's one of the greatest mistakes that you ever make. I think I said this the other day. One of the greatest mistakes we ever make as a teacher is we assume our audience knows what we know. And as soon as you do that, you lose them. And then here's another thing that happens. Here's how the learning process works. For instance, let's take yesterday's show, and we're talking about the kingdom. I'm sorry, we're talking about the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. When you hear something and it really hits into your heart, you know what I'm talking about. When one of those arrows really hits, you stop. Your mind stops. And you just think about that. You know what I'm talking about. It goes in you. And you meditate on it a little bit. The truth that just went in you, you meditate on it. And then you wake up and catch up and you're 7 sentences behind. And you missed what came next. So just a natural process. That happens over and over and over in a classroom. Teachers don't even understand that. See, teachers have a lesson plan laid out. Pastors have a lesson plan laid out, and so they want to go through their topics. They're not realizing that as they're going through their topics, while they're on point two, somebody's still stuck on back on point one, trying to run that through their brain and figure out what he just said. And then when they finally get to figure out what he just said, now they're on point four, and they miss point two and point three, and at the end of the sermon, they don't understand why it didn't make any sense to them. So most of us learn by doing. We learn by doing. We don't see our schools are set up so wrong. Our churches are set up so wrong. All a lecture does, for the most part, talking about a lecture even in the classroom, How often does this happen, fellas? When you go to church with your wife and afterwards, you and your wife or whoever, you go out and get something to eat afterwards and say, hey, what did the pastor talk about? What was the sermon about today? And you hesitate and you look at your wife. I don't know. Man, it was good. Man, it was good. Because you felt it. You didn't hear it. And those two things are just as important. I like to say when I go out and speak, I always, my wife will say to me, how'd it go tonight, honey? Last night, JR, how'd it go? And I say, well, I don't know if they heard me, but they felt me. And those two things are not the same. And then the educational process, you hit a home run when they hear you and feel you. When they learn, feel it and learn it. That's when learning takes place. And I was talking to these guys before we went on the air today. I get so frustrated in Facebook. First of all, anytime you text anything, there's no emotion in it. You can tell a joke in a text or a joke on Facebook, and people think it's serious, and you can't believe how stupid they are that they think it's serious. They don't even realize it was a joke. But there's no emotion in it. That's why communication through email and through these things are deadly, because the person receiving the message doesn't receive it in the manner in which it was sent. You guys all understand that. So we're living in a culture and a society right now where this is the medium. This is the feedback. I talk, you shut up and listen. That's church. That's the classroom. Any questions? Any questions? Well, the reason there aren't any questions is the student's still stuck back on point number one, and you went through the 10. And they never really grasp number one. Our schools are – the reason we have such problem in our schools, there are many, many reasons. Many reasons. The number one reason, kids can't read. They don't know how to read. Young kids I'm talking about. First grade, second grade, third grade, they can't read. And all of a sudden they're in fourth grade. We say, oh, well, they're special ed. Special ed. Oh, he's ADHD. He's ADD. Poor guy. No. He never learned step one. He never got that phonics thing. He never understood that. He never did. And because we mass teach. Church now, I'm talking about church. We mass teach. There are many people sitting in the church that when the sermon is over, all they did was felt it. They could not take one thing they learned and share it with anybody else because they never got it. They felt it, but they never got it. And that's dangerous. And again, the worst mistake we make is to assume the listener knows what the speaker knows. And most often they don't. So I was saying to Larry before we came on, Larry, I'm going to have you share what you just said, because as that music started, that thought, remember I'm talking about 1,000 things going through my head? When you said about the swine, everything in my head, Larry, I wish we had a video of this. When you said that truth, every noise in my head stopped. I thought, oh my goodness, is that ever profound? I think it happens for us a lot when we learn something. Here's something that makes sense to us. So I was griping a moment about Facebook, posting things on Facebook, and people don't even get it. And then they attack me spiritually, say, oh, you're a phony Christian. Oh, you're just doing that to be controversial, to get more hits on your Facebook page. My brain don't even work like that. I don't even know how to get more hits on my Facebook page. I just say what I say. And so after a while, I quit arguing with them, because the Bible says that foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they do engender strifes. So I take what I have, I lay it on the table, and I let them eat it. And if they can't swallow it, I'm not going to give them another layer of it. I'm just going to say, well, they can get it. Light's not on there. And I back away from it, rather than engaging in an argument with them. And then what they do on the Facebook page, yes, I'm talking to you Facebookers, is they keep coming back at me. Oh, yeah, coach, are you afraid to answer? What? Can't defend your position? Is that what is it? Have we exposed you as a fraud? And I just sit back and say, I ain't even going to go there. I learned this as a football coach. Listen now. Oh, this is a truth. This is going to set you free if you'll hear this. As a football coach, I learned this very important, critical, spiritual truth. You ready? A person, I'm coaching a football game, and this in the heat of the battle. We're calling first down, second down, third. I'm making calls. I'm making substitutions. I'm passing. I'm doing all that stuff. And I'm being criticized after the fact in the stands. Constantly being criticized. After I run a play, it's 30 seconds of criticism. Somebody's up there, guess that was good, that was bad, whatever. In the meantime, I'm calling the next play. I'm not thinking about what I just called because I have to think forward. And I learned this, that the person sitting in the stands, the person criticizing you, they don't even know if you heard it until you respond. And as soon as you respond, you give them the spiritual authority to enter into your mind. So when they're laying, kill the coach, kill the coach. In my heart, what I want to do, I want to turn around and say, screw you. Screw you, I ain't never coached again. As soon as I do that, I've now invited them in to an area that they're not supposed to be in. So at some point when you lay it on the table, I got 10 guys here. My emails blow up. I don't answer them all. Because the last thing I'm going to do is give some guy the right to speak into me or criticize me when I don't even know who he is. So I read what he said. I understand it. But I'm not going to be distracted by foolish and unlearned questions. So Larry said, as I shared this offline, Larry said this. Put him on there if you can, Jared. What did you say then, Larry?
Well, you said don't cast your pearls before swine. And I says, that's very true. I says, but also, don't give that which is holy to the dogs. Don't even give it to them in the first place.
Is that something?
They're not going to get it. It's not going to produce anything. You know, everybody says, well, cat, you know, whatever you preach out there, cast your bread on the waters, it'll come back, you know. But that verse is the word that proceeds out of God's mouth when it's sent forward comes back.
Okay? Amen.
And so don't give that which is holy to the dogs. And by the way, you know, a wolf is in the dog family or a dog is in the wolf family. They're all right there.
Amen.
And, you know, there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing inside the church. So there's a lot of people in the church we don't even need to speak truth through. Let's let the Holy Spirit tell us who's ready to receive and who's not.
Amen, hey, Larry.
Larry, what's the verse on that? Is there a verse on that?
Well, there is one, of course. It means, do you have it?
Yeah.
Pardon? Don't give that which is holy to the dogs?
Yes.
Okay, I can look for it and tell it to you in a
minute. By the way, isn't it interesting that Jesus called some people dogs? That ain't very loving, is it? Ain't very loving. So what are you doing giving that to the dogs? Somebody will find it here. I know that they will. So listen, guys. Talk to my Facebook. I'm not talking to you guys. I'm talking to those Facebook folks. We'll make you mad. I know so much more than you know. It sounds really arrogant. I'm just telling you. I know so much more than you know. I read voraciously. And you're on page 3, and I'm on page 15. That's all I can tell you. And I'm going to try to feed it to you. I'll try to get you to page 3. But if you can't get to page 3, you sure aren't going to understand page 15. So I'm not going to engage in back and forth blather about stuff that's foolishness. You understand that, fellas? It'll save you. Listen, it will save you a great headache if you don't always have to be right. You don't have to always be right. Be willing to walk away, letting them think they're right. Because truth will stand on its own. You cast that truth out there, that dude will stand on its own. It don't need you to, you don't have to reinforce it. You lay it in somebody's heart. You wouldn't believe, by the way, guys, that some of the emails that I got regarding yesterday's show and how many people had their eyes opened yesterday to think about this. The King of Kings. Somebody wrote me this. They said, Coach, this is amazing, Coach. We've been saying in the church that the King of Kings has the body of a woman. Is that profound? That's what we're teaching in our churches, that the King of Kings has a body of a woman. And then I got a call today, this morning, bright and early this morning, and made this point, which I think is really true, that the Bible calls wisdom her, she. So wisdom is part of that feminine part of God. God, I remember I told you before that God has feminine and masculine parts. We can't understand it. We don't understand it. It's a mystery. We don't understand it. But he has feminine and masculine parts. That's how he's able to be the creator of all things. Because I did make the mistake yesterday. All creation requires a male and a female. So that whatever God is, how, that entity of God has to have masculine and feminine qualities to be able to create. So I thought that was a really good point. So just kind of a what's the word called, a debriefing. Anybody have anything from regarding yesterday? Have you chewed on or a new question or a new truth? Maybe to not a new truth because Larry's got it. Hang on, Larry. Listen, there is no such thing as a new truth. Truth. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun. So if you come across something and you think you're the first one to have seen it, you're not. Let me trust you. It may have been buried, but that truth has been there. You ain't all high and mighty. And you're not going to know truth unless the Holy Spirit reveals it to you anyway. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, yeah. You know, I got basically two things that I'm led to say. Number one is so many people believe that Jesus spoke in parables to make it easy for people to understand stuff, when exactly the opposite is true. Jesus told his disciples, I speak to them in parables because when they're hearing, they won't hear. That way it'll fulfill scripture. The parables are to keep people from knowing stuff. Only those who are supposed to understand the parables will understand it.
Daggone. That's good.
And
that's good.
Now,
or even the depth of it, right, Larry? That in a parable, there can be so much more depth than we even understand is there. So many different perspectives that you can take apart on that parable.
Absolutely. Now, I'm led by the Holy Spirit to bring this parable to our attention on this panel. Matthew chapter 13.
Give me a second. Matthew 13. God, I hope this is something new that I don't know. Lord, let this be something new. Lord, just let a revelation come to us even right now, Lord. Let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know the riches of your glory. Oh, Lord, that we might know that. Matthew 13.
Yes, and let's start at verse 3.
We're not going to read Roger's Sissy Bible, are we?
No, for the sake of time, I think I'll just do it real quickly here,
if it's
all right with you guys.
Please do.
Okay. Behold, a sower went out to sow. This is a parable Jesus told. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately, okay, you know this parable. You know
right.
it. I don't have to read that parable. Now, I've heard so many sermons on this parable about the seed is your money, and some of it comes back 40, and some 100-fold, and all that and everything.
Yeah.
But I want to focus just for a second here. Let's go to verse 18 of this chapter, and let's let Jesus explain this parable, okay, instead of a pastor behind a pulpit.
Yep.
Jesus said, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, okay? So was that seed money? No, that seed was the word.
Amen.
That seed Jesus was talking about was the word. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart, and he who received the seed by the wayside. So the word can go out there and do absolutely nothing if it's not understood. Okay?
Amen.
Now, that's important to remember. Now, he who received the seed on the stony places is the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, no foundation built in his life, but endures only for a while. Okay? Then, now, he who received the seed, the word, among the thorns is he who hears the word, and then the cares of this world overcome that word that he received.
Wow.
Okay? Now, so here we have three different situations where this word went out and it didn't produce anything. It didn't do any good.
25% of the seed does.
Okay, crazy. Now we go to the fourth one. It says, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it,
wow,
who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. Okay? Uh-huh. Now here's the deal. Jesus here told his disciples, you know the word. You're walking with the word. You've been with me for years, for a couple of years. You are living with the word. You know what it is about. And when you go out and spread this knowledge about me, so I want you to be careful I want you to know that there are all different kinds of places you can spread this word. You can spread it where it's not going to do any good at all because they don't understand it. You can spread it where it's only a temporary flash because they had no foundation, no strength in their life. It says, and you can spread it where they're going to let the cares of the world overcome them, or you can spread it by letting the Holy Spirit tell you where to spread it, and then it's going to produce a crop. So, and we know from other places in the Scripture that God expects a crop. God expects an increase. And so, therefore, I believe, and this is for me now, this is how this parable spoke to me. Hey, the most important thing you have in your life is the Word of God. You be very careful where you spread that word. Don't give it to the dogs. Don't cast it in front of the swine. You let the Spirit tell you where to put that word, and you're going to see a return on it. That's what I read out of this parable.
Oh, Larry, that is really good. That is really good. And I've often said this, if we just do the math here, 75% of the seed doesn't take root. 75% of it doesn't. That's staggering, isn't it? And so, we get trapped up in this idea that God's word will not return void, but it will perform that which he sent it to do. Well, certainly. But see, it has to take root. It has to bear. And isn't it interesting that the fruit is not for you? The fruit's for others. An apple tree doesn't bear fruit for itself. It bears fruit so that others may come and eat off of it. So what we need to do here, which we need to realize, and I believe that we do, you guys got fruit. You got to be bearing fruit. We just can't come in here every morning and do this. There's got to be fruit in your life that you can feed to others. Because guys, men are starving. They're starving. Now, Larry made a good point. I don't share the gospel with everybody I come in contact with. I share the gospel with whom the Lord prompts me to share it. I don't cast my pearl before swine. I don't give that which is holy to the profane. I don't do that. When the Lord prompts me, then I speak the word. And then I know almost right away whether is it a receptive heart. If it's a receptive heart, then I had a conversation yesterday at the abortion clinic. Some Marine, former Marine. Oh, I'd like to talk about that, but how much we worship war in the church, but I'm not going to go there today. And this guy started to argue with me about abortion. And you know when he was arguing with me about abortion? I didn't even hear him. I felt him. So there's something else bothering this guy. And it took about two questions, and I was right to the heart of it. Isn't that unbelievable? Right? He lost an eye. He's a military guy. Went and killed a bunch of people. How'd you like to carry that one around in your life? And so there, he's outside an abortion clinic, and he's arguing about we shouldn't be forcing women to have babies, when really his own guilt was about the people that he had killed. Isn't that amazing that the Holy Spirit would take me there that quickly, that I could expose it that quickly, and then give him love, try to help him understand what was going on, give him the gospel then. Now, he'd heard the gospel. He even said he had prayed to receive Jesus. Stony ground, though. I mean, it had fallen on stony ground. But he's very, very open, very receptive. And those opportunities are out there all the time. And remember this, guys. You haven't failed if he doesn't fall on his knees and receive Jesus. He hadn't failed. You plant new water. And he came yesterday. Somebody's clearly already planted something in him. I watered it a little bit yesterday. Is his life any different this morning? I don't know. But I did my job to plant the water. I didn't come home and say, "Hey, I got some guy saved today." Because I don't know if he's. I don't know. That's good teaching, Larry. That is really, really good. And to keep in mind that 75% of the people that you share it with aren't going to get it. They're not going to get it. I remember when I got it. I remember my run into the altar when I got it. And nobody had to convince me. When that truth hit me, man, phew, I put on my Red Ball Jets and I was running, man. Because I understood. So let's keep all that in perspective. Good point, Larry. Anybody else? Any other debriefing about yesterday and the kingdom? And I heard from a lot of people whose eyes were absolutely opened to that truth. I believe we talked about yesterday. And I'm not the first guy to teach it, but it's a misteaching. Yeah.
Hey, I was watching your Facebook discussion there, and I had one kind of similar going on my page, obviously with a lot less input voices. But and the one thing I learned a long time ago that really helped me with those is that, and it might help others, is that when you realize that you don't have to necessarily show and convince others of the truth, but the truth in and of itself will convince them on its
Amen.
Own.
Amen. Amen.
And just say, I used to always think that I had to use arguments, and I had to use debate, and I had to use, I don't know if manipulation is the right word, but I had to twist and manipulate, like you do so many things in your life, get people to see the truth. And I had a discussion going on Facebook yesterday, and I was just, you know, laying down truth as best as I could. And, you know, I don't know if I'd say the two guys I was talking to came around, but I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about who else is reaping.
There you go. Clear. Yeah.
Between truth and what I would consider not truth. And reading back through that those messages, it was clear that anybody reading that would see that. And then so sometimes that's it's not great. About convincing. It's just about putting the truth down. That's what that was on my heart.
That is great. That is great wisdom there. Because, see, on on my Facebook pages, we just heard there, thousands read the dialogue that's going on in my Facebook page. So a lot of times when I respond on a Facebook post, it's not even to the person that wrote it. It's to the many other people that are going to read it, and somebody might pick up the truth of it. But again, if I get trapped into thinking I got to convince them, then it turns on a one-on-one debate. And oh, Lord. See, so here's the great line to finish with, Dylan. I just tell them this. I leave them with the scripture. I say this. You've heard, but you've not understood. Then they really get pissed. But see, I don't go back to it. Because I'm not going to have foolish and unlearned questions. I'm going to avoid them. I don't need that strife, especially with Christian brothers. I said that to a guy yesterday. I said, I don't even like where this has gone, especially publicly between two Christian brothers. I'm done. He banged me back about 6 times, and I did not bite once more. That's a great spiritual discipline. Anybody else? Anything? Yesterday about the kingdom, about Steve in New York.
Just a quick observation, Coach. I was reading through and trying to find some extra places where this topic's talked about, the bride, the body, New Jerusalem, all that stuff. I couldn't find any place in the scripture where Jesus is a polygamist.
Ever. Ever. Ever.
Couldn't find it.
Couldn't find it. For sure, brother. For sure. And I couldn't find any place in there where he was a female. And that was the point. just let the Bible teach itself, see. And so my wife said to me, honey, how come so many people are so deceived? Okay, I'm going to ask that. I'm going to ask this panel this. How do I want to say it, Lord? How come pastors aren't seeing it? This is a very simple truth. How many pastors did you know of that would even pick up what we talked about yesterday? And why do you suppose that is? If you went into your church today, pastor went into his church today and started talking about the bride of Christ was the New Jerusalem, the elder board would want to run him out. And they don't even investigate it. And the Bible says that the Bereans, what did the Berean Christians do? Does anybody know? Sure you do. They searched the scriptures daily to see if what they'd been taught was the truth. And I'm glad Steve checked up on me. Steve checked up. He was a good Berean. He wanted to see if I was making it up. And I told some of you yesterday, Google it. And I don't know if any of you did. But if you did Google it, you didn't find anything. You found no real ever convincing evidence that Jesus, that his body becomes his bride. You'll never find it. It's made up. Somebody made it up. Roger, you want to say something?
I don't think the elder board would complain. They're not reading their Bibles. The vast majority of leadership, the vast majority of men in the church and are not reading their Bible. I think the pastor could say whatever they want in most churches.
Sadly, I would agree with that. Sadly, I would. I would agree with that. Anybody else before I jump into what I want to talk about here today? Steve in Indiana. Great to have you young guys here again, by the way.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you. The only thing that I wanted to say is it makes me think of the Pharisees where Jesus spoke to them about, I'm paraphrasing, that you shut up the kingdom of heaven and you don't go in yourself.
Amen. Amen. What's in the kingdom of heaven? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Truth. And see, all truth leads you to the kingdom. All truth does. And again, it comes back to the, again, those foolish and unlearned questions. If you go to one of your fellow believers, and I mean, let's start. I'm not going to start this debate. But you bring up the rapture. Oh my goodness. Phew. And then most of them can't even explain to you. They can't even explain to you why their point of view. They can't even explain it. And so if you pull out a Bible verse and you share a Bible verse with them that's contrary to what they believe, they get mad. Well, that's not what I've always believed. Well, there's part of your problem. You've been believing stuff that's not true. It's not true. Not as you're being taught, it isn't true. And do we know this? The dispensationalism, whatever that term is, that's a theory of a man. A man came up with that theory. Or what's the Arminianism, whatever. Those are theories of men and theologians. And I don't have any problem with those theories, and I don't, not at all. But man, can't we just read through the Bible and just the simple things, see what the simplicity of what the Bible says, and just follow the simplicity of what it says, rather than being bogged down about hermeneutics and exegesis and, oh my gracious, I think the Lord's going to, he's probably just shaking his head and, oh my goodness, why are they doing all that? Why are they doing all that? Why are they arguing about that stuff? I think that's what I think. So why would they just live out what they already know? Yes, sir.
Oh, I was going to add a little bit to what you said that came up. I think another area that so many men are afraid to say, I'm good at something. You know, you were not afraid to say to another believer or another person, I know a little more than you.
That's right.
The church continues to call things like that as pride. You're not humble.
There you go.
But it is okay for a man. I mean, if you want help to move your materials in your house to a new house, I'm only good at taking from the door to the truck. You better not have me pack the truck. There are things I'm good at. And men are so afraid to say, hey, hold on, I can do this one. Get out of my way. I can do this one.
Amen.
Because the church has said that's prideful. That doesn't show a humility. That's not humble. And so what happens then, men don't step forward in things that they're good at.
Oh, Roger, that's good.
And it is okay to say, it's not prideful to say, you know, I can nail that deer 100 feet away. Let me take that deer down.
Amen.
I don't, you know, you're not quite there yet. You're only at 50 feet. Let me take that baby down. And I try to teach the young people I'm around, it is okay to stand up and say, and you say it in the right tone, but it's okay to say, I'm good at that. I can do that.
I've studied
that's
that.
Not prideful.
That's right. That's your gift, and you're expressing that your gift and that you've developed your gift.
Yeah.
Listen, I've studied this. I've practiced this. Let me take over here. And you know what would happen? Probably in a situation like that, most men would say, oh, great. Go ahead. Just show us what to do. We'll follow you here. Most men would do, welcome, Kevin. I agree with Roger. Pride. Misplaced application of what they call pride. Well, that is well said. Well said. Anybody else this morning? Man, we got a full boat here again today. Makes me feel good. Hey, guys, I don't know if you know this or not. We're reaching the world. You know that? We're reaching the world. They're watching this in England, in Australia. It's unbelievable, isn't it? That we in this little thing right here can reach the world. And so I want you to know that I don't take it casually. And I'm not big-headed about it, and I don't go out and brag to everybody about I don't. Because I understand that what the Lord has given me is a very precious gift to be able to share with others, that they might be able to come to the fullness of Christ within them, that they can share others as well, share with others as well. It's an each one teach one thing. So, you know, I'm shocked sometimes the things I hear myself say. Sometimes I'll play this overward, and I think, wow, where did that come from? I'm not kidding you. Where did that come from? I'll say after I heard me say something. Where did that come from? The Holy Spirit. It's the way the Holy Spirit operates. It says that you will be brought before governors, and if I could find it real quick, that you, believers, you will be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And think not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak, for it's not you that speaks, but your Father that speaks through you. Isn't that profound? Isn't that profound? You know what else? Those of you who turned in at the beginning of the show, as we're doing this right now, you know, all that ADD has stopped. All that noise in my head has stopped. The Holy Spirit's got us all focused in the right direction. I can't even explain it. I wish you could crawl inside my body and feel the two different, you guys know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when I'm not doing this, I need to be harnessed because I got all those lines coming. ADD, Kevin, that's what we're talking about, right? You taught all those kids that were ADD, and they weren't really ADD. They just had a lot of information coming in their head at the same time. They were noticing things. They would sit in the room, and pink colors bothered them, and blue colors didn't, and it just got them all distracted. And we call it a learning disability or a mental disorder. No, 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 no. No, it's not at all. All right.
I called it learning different.
Learning different. I said ADD was absent dad disorder. You agree with that, Kevin?
I would agree with that. Yeah, that was
Someone just needed swatted, didn't they, bud? They just needed swatted.
Or just a gentle, I told you, that's it.
Yep.
Learning different.
Well, you want to learn a little different here? You ready to go here today?
That's why I'm here every morning.
Attaboy. JR, I spoke at a tea party group last night. Tea parties are shrinking, by the way. They're discouraged. Tea parties are shrinking.
Jesus. They didn't bring Jesus with them.
Kevin, you took the words right out of my mouth, man. A tea party was built on taxation, Social Security, all big government. It wasn't built on truth. And so the ones that are pretty much left, I think, are probably, JR could attest to this better than me, they're probably purveyors of the truth. They probably are. But there aren't many. There might have been 20 in the room last night. And unfortunately, because we've bought into this lie of the separation between church and state, and politics are they're divisive. You don't talk about that. You don't bring religion into it and all that. I don't know if there's much hope. But JR asked last night, how many of your pastors mentioned to you what's going on in our schools on Friday? So I'm asking that question. You know what's going to go on in your public school on Friday? Anybody know what's going on? You want me to tell you? It's the day of silence. All across America, I promise you, in your school district, they are celebrating the day of silence, which is honoring homosexuality. That's what the day of silence is. The day of silence is students who are LGBTQRSPMS friendly will wear tape on their mouths. There'll be teachers who won't even speak in the classroom. They'll have a lesson written on the board in a handout or a video or something because the teachers have refused to speak all day because they are in fellowship with these poor LGBTQRSPMSs. It's going on in your local schools right now. And so JR asked the question. I thought it was a very good question. Did your pastor mention that to you? Anybody's pastor mention that's going on this weekend? This Friday? Do you think that's something a pastor ought to tell the people? Or should we just ignore that kind of stuff's going on in our government schools? And if he doesn't know it's going on in his government schools, if he's a watchman, can somebody tell me why he doesn't know it? And if he does know it, can somebody tell me why he hasn't warned you that it's going on? So that you can warn your children about what to expect. You know why it isn't? Romans 1. I want to do a little Romans 1 today. Because we no longer think that homosexuality is a perversion. We think Bible believers are perverted. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. They're doing it right in our midst. They're training our children with it. The homosexual mafia has seized control of the educational system, and they're indoctrinating your children in it. Now, that doesn't mean your child is going to leave the school a homosexual, although they'll do their best they can to get him to be one. But it does tell you this, that your child is going to leave the school knowing it's evil to criticize homosexuals. It's not evil to criticize Christians, because the Christians are the bigoted, judgmental ones. It's evil to criticize homosexuality. That's what the day. That's what the Day of Silence is all about. You guys in Romans 1? Everybody there? I'm in verse 17. Can we start there real quick? I'm tempted to let Roger read from his sissy Bible. Should I do that? They're nodding yes, Roger. They trust you to read from your sissy Bible.
I'm ready to roll, baby.
Okay, Romans 1:17, Roger, from the feminine version of the Bible. By the way, let me ask you this. You know what I think I ought to do? I think I ought to write a manly version of the Bible. I think I ought to take the King James and make it more harsh. What would we call it if I did that? Make that thing really manly. Boy, that'd get the sissy pastors gone, wouldn't it? That'd be hateful and bigoted. Go ahead there, Roger.
All righty, Romans 1:17. From the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. 18.
Here we go.
The wrath of God.
You're stuttering. What?
The wrath. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven.
Hang on. Hang on now, Roger. Don't get ahead of me here. Okay. The wrath of God is revealed. Not will be. Is revealed. Go on, Roger.
Is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness.
Wow. Is that really what yours says? Because that's kind of manly. I kind of like this. Mine calls it unrighteousness and hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's good. Wickedness, unrighteous wickedness. God's wrath revealed against it. Keep going, Raj.
19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them.
So if you understand that a man is supposed to sleep with a woman, they all understand it. His truth is available to everybody, and in fact, he's talking about natural things. This is like a natural law. We'll keep going, Raj, because we'll get into it.
For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen.
Hang on. Has been what?
Clearly seen.
Clearly seen. By who? Clearly seen by who?
To men.
To everybody. It's clearly seen. Go ahead.
Being understood from what has been made. Here's the key. Wow. So that men are without excuse.
Can't say I didn't know. Because it says right there that you know. It's revealed to everybody. Men don't sleep with men. They don't. They just don't. Because the plumbing doesn't even work. That stuff that's revealed. Go ahead, Roger.
I'd like to resonate on that, but we'll keep going.
Go ahead.
21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened.
What kind of heart?
Foolish.
Foolish, foolish heart. Who sang that? That was the best. Is that Steven Tyler? You guys remember that? Steven Tyler was quoting the scripture. Foolish heart became darkened. Isn't that something? Hey, the heart wasn't dark. The heart became dark because they were foolish. the more foolish they became, the darker their heart got. Or the more darker their heart got, the more foolish they became. Either way, keep going, Rogers. We're heading somewhere. This is good.
I think we're going to be heading to the PETA lovers. And exchange the glory of the immortal God.
No, you skipped. No, stop that. You skipped a very important verse, 22.
Oh, here we go. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and soon became university professors and presidential candidates and lawyers and senators and congressmen, letting everybody know how much smarter they are than everybody else. They became foolish and said men could use women's restrooms. That is so foolish. That's foolishness. Amen.
And exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles.
Mine says creeping things, and there sure are some creeping things in America, aren't there? Keep going, Raj.
24. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of the hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another.
Stop a minute, Raj. What does it mean? Hang on. What does it mean to give you over? What would that mean? Let's say you're a father. What would it mean if you were to give your son over? What would that mean?
Let him go.
You're gonna do what you're gonna do.
Yeah.
You're gonna do it. No matter what I tell you, you're gonna do. So the Lord sits up and says, "Okay, you know the truth, and you're thinking you're smart, and you're a damn fool. Okay, go ahead, man. Go ahead." That's what our Father God's saying to him there. Keep going, Raj. 25.
Therefore, God, here we go. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie.
Did what?
The truth of God for a lie.
They exchanged it, the great exchange. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Go ahead.
And worship and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
No, mine says worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Now, who's the creature?
Evil.
Themselves. Themselves.
Okay.
They want to just serve themselves. They worship themselves. Follow me? Keep going, Raj, because we got ways to go yet and a short time to get there.
Whoever is forever praised, amen. Verse 26. Because of this, God.
Whoa, ho, ho, ho. Because of what?
Their actions, their desires.
Here's what I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help you learn to read the Bible. Because of this, well, anytime you read that, for this cause, because of this, you better stop a minute and go back and say, whoa. What? Because of what? Well, he just told you. And what did he tell you? That their foolish hearts been darkened, and they've rejected the truth of God, and professing themselves to be wise, they've become fools. And God said, go ahead, you fool. Go ahead and be a fool. And then he said, okay, because of this, go ahead, Roger.
Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones.
Wow. They said, it's so crazy, even the women are doing it now. And then what it says? So I expect some foolish, vile men to do that, but women are doing it too, he said. Even the women. Go ahead.
In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion.
That is so important, fellas. Oh, I wish I had an hour. They received it in themselves. Listen. Oh, Lord. Being a homosexual is the punishment. It is the punishment. Do you understand that? Receiving in themselves the due punishment. It is the punishment. What is the punishment? They rejected the truth, and now they get to be that because they think they are. Somebody told them they were born that way. Somebody told them that they were normal. And because they believe that foolishness, that is now who they are. And homosexuals are the only group of people I know of who identify themselves by the way they have sex. It is who they are. Somebody say amen, because that's pretty good right there, boys.
Amen.
Received in themselves the due punishment. They already received it. Go ahead, Roger.
John, question.
Yes. Yes, John.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, I always wondered, were they homosexuals because they were cursed, or were they cursed because they were homosexuals?
Oh, boy. Here's what I would say, brother. Oh, Lord, do I have to go there? Yeah, I will.
You basically just said it.
Yes. Listen, the homosexuality is the punishment. It is the punishment. Oh, Lord. Okay, I'll say it, Lord. It's a demon.
So they're homosexuals because they're cursed.
It's a demon. It's a demon. This is going to make right wing watch.
It's sad.
This is going to make right wing watch. They've opened up. They've opened themselves up to demonic influence. That the natural use of their body is now not being controlled by them. It's being controlled by a demonic influence that can only be satisfied with more and more and more. The idea, boy, right wing watch, here I come. The idea of a purely, truly monogamous homosexual is almost non-existent.
You know, can you still hear me, Dave?
Yeah.
You know, I was in the alcohol beverage business for 22 years. Okay, about half of that in the restaurant business. And I don't know how many homosexuals I worked with. I mean, hundreds over the years. And it was never a love thing. They never talked about love. It was all sexually driven. Everyone that I ever met, and they admitted it openly, that It was sexually driven. I'll just let it go with that. I mean,
feeding their lust.
Yeah, feeding. I mean, they were extremely more graphic in their rationale, but it was all sexually driven.
JR,
that's what they told me.
All right, brother.
I was a redneck, in their opinion. I was a redneck, and it was all motivated by sex.
Yep. Amen. JR?
This isn't just about homosexuality. Don't focus just on that.
No.
Most men are not monogamous and like to have multiple relationships.
Right.
So there's other things. It could be a lot of things that we're talking about here, but if you don't control it, it'll control you.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You cannot be a Christian man and live a lifestyle of adultery. You can't be a Christian man and live a life of homosexuality. You can't. Jared.
Just to go to a previous verse, 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. That can be men and women as well.
Oh, it's absolutely. It's showing. Here's what JR, good point. Jared, good point. Here's what they're showing us. Is that because we no longer worship God, remember, they received in themselves a due punishment, they worship the creature. Sexual fulfillment, male or female. A perversion of the union, the sexual union. That's what they're talking about here. And the end result, or the most drastic example of that, would be men with men. Women with women, doing that which is unseemly. But we're talking about a society that is living out adultery as a part of life, right here in Romans 1. Why? Because we rejected the truth of God. We rejected it. So men are shacking up with women. Right, guys? I mean, come on. Jim and JR's right. Jared's right. This is not just about homosexuality. Ask yourself, we're going to run out of time. Would your church welcome into its fellowship somebody that had a concubine, and everybody knew that every night he was sleeping with a different woman? Would he be allowed to be in fellowship in your church? Probably not. Maybe. I mean, who knows? But probably not. Everybody in the church would think he's a sinner. But for a man to go sleep with a man, he's welcome in. We'll make him, hey, we'll make him pastor. We'll make him choir director. See, what's happened is the rest of us has lost. We've lost our stinking minds. The rest of us have. Men want to use women's restrooms. We know why they want to use women's restrooms. What the hell happened to the rest of us? Then we're going to let them do it. You understand? See, the gospel's the restraining bar. That's the truth of God. The Lord's speaking to us. Oh, I'm going to run out of time. Roger, this is critical. We're almost out of time. Let's go down to verse 32, the last verse of Romans 1. Did you leave us, Roger?
I'm here.
Okay, just read the last, because the rest of us, maybe we'll cover the rest of this tomorrow, because it does talk about all these other sins that these guys are talking about. But look at verse 32. I shouldn't yell. Look at verse 32, children.
Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Who's he talking to? Us.
The school board.
We approve of it. We have so lost our stinking minds, we approve of this demonic behavior. Hey, that is the judgment, see? That is the judgment of God, that we can't even protect our children anymore. We have been so convinced to believe this stinking lie that we don't even put up barriers to protect our children anymore. That is the judgment of God. People are sitting around saying, boy, the Lord's going to judge America. Verse 18. Would you remind us of verse 18 again, Roger?
Yep. Here we go. Okay. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness.
So you see, it's the judgment, it's the wrath that's already being poured out. And this, they're having a day of silence in your school, and your pastor isn't saying anything about it. Nobody's complaining about it. Let's love those homos, those LGBTs. Oh, let's just love them. Jesus said to love them. Did Jesus say to love them? What does Romans 1 say? Not, look, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only to do that, they have days of silence in their schools to honor them. Gay pride parades down Broad and High in Columbus, Ohio. And homos everywhere. Homos on the covers of magazines. It is the judgment of God. Hey, Right Wing Watch, thanks for watching. We're just reading you a little bit of the bread of life, brother. And here, guys, listen, we're about done. I don't have any trouble doing this, because I tell folks, listen, I'm just reading the word. I never said a thing about hate. I never said a thing about who I loved or who I hated. I'm just reading the word. And the word says, professing yourself to be wise, you become a damn fool. You're stupid. You're worshiping you. And because you're worshiping you, when you look around at what's going on, then he says in verse 32, how about the rest of y'all? Rest of y'all, you're putting on parades for them, giving them days of silence in your schools. How are we going to escape such a such judgment? It's 8 o'clock.
Hey, Coach, o'clock. Can I get
God bless you.
Before we stop off?
Yeah. Yep.
What you said there, you know, they profess themselves to be wise, and now and they're fools. And I think that can be said of not just the homosexuality in this country, but of every sin that we see in this country, that we see in the church, that we see all over the place. They profess themselves to be wise, and now they're fools. But the Holy Spirit's laid on my heart this morning something I read last week, and it's that if you go to 1 Samuel, when the Philistines capture the ark, and And Israel loses that battle because they're so backwards in their faith and in their covenant with God. The Philistines capture the ark, and plague comes. And they begin to realize that it's tied to the ark, and so they come together and they say, we got to get this back. So what do? We're gonna move it to another town, and then that town suffers a plague, and then they move it to another town until it gets back to, you know. And every time it says, you know, they marched it to this town. And what stood out to me was they weren't the ones marching. The Lord was on the march.
Wow. And he
was marching himself back to his people.
Amen.
I think that this country, in 100 different ways you could argue, whether it's the homosexual movement, whether it's abortion, whether it's the extreme liberal left, has been in such sin, and we're so backwards, and I think the Lord is going to be marching back. I think he's marching back right now. And I don't know.
I think he is too, Dylan.
But hey, I think that brings me hope when we have these conversations.
What's in the ark, Dylan? Do you know? What's in the ark?
I mean, God, to them, that was God that was in the ark. That was his presence.
The tablets, right?
Yeah.
The tablets, the Ark of the Covenant. The covenant's in there. Dylan, you're right, man. The Lord's on the march. He's taking the gospel to everybody, and they're rejecting it. And so we're all going to be without excuse. We can't say we didn't know, because we did know. I wish I could go on for another hour. God bless you. Don't you miss it tomorrow. Share this with your friends. God's on the march. That's the word of the day. God bless y'all.